Samuel chapter 12, David, we saw last week, things were going really well in the life of David, and he was winning every battle, God was with him, and what happened? Anybody remember? What started it all here at the beginning of the chapter? Yeah, but before Bathsheba, what decision did he make? He stayed home. All of his army was off to battle. And for the first time, David decided, you know, I'm going to sit this one out and stay home and let the guys go fight. And then the story of Bathsheba. And so God sent Nathan to tell the story, remember, about the man with the one little lamb. And then that famous statement, "Thou art the man." And that's where we find ourselves today. Where God also told him not only would he have wars for the rest of his ministry, not only would he have problems in his own family, which we're going to see, but his child that Bathsheba was going to bear was going to die. And that's where we find ourselves as David beseeching God on behalf of the child. So, Brother Jim, if you would read 16 and 17, and then we'll pray and get started.
David, therefore, besought God for the child. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them.
Let's pray. Lord, give us your mighty presence and power as we study your word together this morning. Use it in our hearts, Lord, to teach us, but to change us. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn great truths from the life of David that would help us to be faithful to you and to seek to be as David was after your own heart. So, Lord, we commit this time to you and thank you so much for it. Guide each teacher in all the various classrooms as they teach your word as well. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So even though God said, I'm going to take the child, David still prayed, which is what we should always do, is pray that God might change his mind. Amen. We saw Moses change God's mind, didn't we? But God was going to carry through. Brother Howard, 18 to 23. We'll see what happens.
It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, he spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. Now will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw and his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread for him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou hast fasted and wept for the child while it was alive. When the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Shall I go to him, but he shall not return to me? And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him.
There's a lot of great lessons in this, isn't there? I've only had to preach funerals of children maybe three times in my ministry, but I always will use verse 23. In that case, where David makes this beautiful statement, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. In other words, David believed that the child was in heaven and that he would one day join him. And that's a beautiful truth, isn't it, when it comes to the death of young children. But we also find that David teaching his servants and others a lesson that you can't fast and pray for dead people. Even though we have a billion people in the world who do that very thing, it's not scriptural that if they're dead, it's too late. to change the situation. Amen. Their destiny is sealed. But also we learn that children, which we believe as Bible believers, that children before the age of understanding sin go to heaven. They don't have to be sprinkled with water to have their original sin forgiven, as many believe. Not only the Catholics, but other religious groups teach the same, that children need to have that original baptism to somehow protect them in case they die as a young child. But it's not in the Bible, is it? Matter of fact, our forefathers, many of them died over this very doctrine, didn't they? Baby baptism. Hence we got the name Anabaptists and then Baptists. But so many great spiritual lessons here. David saying, I'm just going to pray that God changes his mind. Once he died, the servants were shocked. Well, why isn't he still fasting and praying? The baby's gone. I can't change the situation. He's dead. But I will see him again someday. What a beautiful promise that is. So thoughts or questions about that before we move on? That David's, if you will, response to God's chastisement, but also how he handled the death of this child. Anybody? Before we move on, we see that David had a deep understanding of spiritual things, don't we? And a lot of those scriptures in the Psalms talk about eternity. God wrote them through David, right? As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. Psalm 17. Precious in the sight of the Lord is death of his saints. Psalms 116, and we could go on and on. Psalm 23. Anything? Brother?
Just an observation in verse 19. The pronoun he is capitalized. Any reason for that?
I just think that's because it's a new phrase, a new sentence after the comma. It's a quote, yeah. And so you should always capitalize, even though there aren't quotation marks around it, because the Bible doesn't do that, it's a new quotation. Your English teacher wife sorted you out there. Any other thoughts or questions? Kat? Amen.
There's been times in my life when I've grieved his loss. Because I know his name and I've seen some pictures of him, but that's all. But I don't share that with everyone, but I feel like I'm part of this family now. So I thought I would just share it. His name is Mom.
Amen.
And he said he's with Jesus.
And you will see him again someday.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Anybody else? So Solomon, David was 50 years old when this happened, when Solomon was born, and he will be the third king that we will study, this series on the first three kings of Israel. And the Bible says that the Lord loved him. Did you see that in verse 24? So God took the first child from Bathsheba, but this second child from birth, the Lord loved him. Isn't that interesting? Of course, Solomon is going to become a great king, isn't he? He will have some problems, which we'll get to, but the Lord loved him. So keep that hidden away in your heart when we see him grow up and become a man. And then, of course, there in verse 25, he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. So he actually had two names, Jedidiah and Solomon, which we'll address later. So let's move on and see where, as things are going downhill in David's life because of his sin, and God said, you know, you did this in private, I'm going to punish you. How did he say it? Publicly, didn't he? And that's going to begin in chapter 13. But first, Joab, his loyal general, wants to give David a bit of a gift here at the end of the chapter. So if you could read that, Philip 26 to 31. Joab, being the loyal general that he was, said, "I've pretty much taken the city, but you should come and finish it off so that essentially it'll be recorded that you took the city and not me," which is quite nice of him if you look at it in David's situation. But what do we see here at the end of this passage? Is David the same David? Have we seen David behave this way before with his enemies? Any thoughts on this? Because 31 is a pretty intense verse when you look at it. He didn't just kill them with the sword. Then he took the prisoners of war and essentially tortured them. We haven't seen this before, have we? So is David where he was spiritually with God? It doesn't look like it. He's lost something, hasn't he? And he's the king. He has ultimate authority. And he led his soldiers to treat these prisoners this way. But it's not the David that we've seen before, is it? And things are only going to get worse in chapter 13. But any other thoughts or questions before we dive into the beginning of the chastisement that God promised? So in chapter 13, we see two parts of the chastisement come to pass that God said would happen. And the first one is that one of his sons rapes one of his daughters. Now, they're not full siblings, they're half siblings, but they're descendants of David. How many wives does he have at this point? Anybody remember? We don't know. Exactly. We don't know. We know that he had seven, but then we remember when he got to Jerusalem, it says that he added wives, plural, and concubines, plural. So we don't know at this point how many he has. We know that he had seven when he got Michael back, but now it's at least 11, but probably a lot more than that. We just don't, God never gives us a number. So a lot of children by a lot of different women is the point. We will all agree with you, Jan. So, Roy, I think it's your turn here in chapter 13. If you could do 1 through 14. Nice short passage.
The king passed after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything for her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very simple man. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, even from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, 'I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it.'" heated at her hand. And Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. And David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house, and dress him meat. But Tamar went with her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan, and poured them out before him, and he refused to eat. And Amnon said, How about all the men from me? And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber of Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of them, and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this fool. And whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from you. Howbeit, I hearkened unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her, and lay with her.
So things are starting to crumble in David's family, aren't they? And because of David's sin, and remember this, as we walk through, many people get hurt, many people die when the Civil War begins. And it all goes back to the chastisement that God promised. So when we do sin against the Lord, sometimes others get affected, don't they? Not just us, but those around us. And also, this Jonadab guy, often when I've been asked to preach at teen things or whatever, I use this passage. Amnon had a friend. It says, and he was a very subtle man. So it was Jonadab's idea to say, you know, act like you're sick and have your way with your half-sister. That's not the kind of friends we need, is it? Give us that kind of advice. So now, and she was right. You're going to be one of the fools of Israel if you do this thing. And what about me? What about my shame? I won't be a virgin anymore. In Bible days, that was terrible to marry not a virgin. So the major issues in David's family begin. Any thoughts or questions here? Amnon had a friend. Trust me, that's not the kind of friend you want. Anybody? All right, so 15 to 22, Brother Mark.
Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. And he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of the diverse colors upon her, which such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins' apparel. And the servant brought her out and bolt the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, my brother, been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, but Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar.
Now we've been walking through Exodus. What was the penalty for rape in the Old Testament times? It was the death penalty. Death penalty. But so far, Amnon's not having any consequences, is he? Because he's the king's son. But that will change. And so the first part of this chastisement that's starting to take place is Amnon rapes his half-sister, but now we're going to see that Absalom is going to take matters into his hands and kill his brother. So remember, God said this would happen, that there would be murder even in his own family. And so one brother has now raped his half-sister, and now the other brother is going to kill that brother. So James, that's 23 to 29.
If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, that he, that Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. When I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. And all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up unto his mule, and
David has a lot of sons at this point, because he has a lot of wives and concubines. But now Absalom has killed Amnon. And any thoughts before we look at David's response? Okay, Cash, 30 to 39.
Came to pass, while they were in the way, the tardings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. And the king arose and tore his garments, and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, he came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come, and thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that, behold, the king's sons came, and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also, and all the servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled, and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled, and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, but he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead.
Did you see who was counseling David here? Did you catch that name? Jonadab, remember him? So he says, oh, well, don't worry, king. It's only Amnon that's dead. Why? Because he forced his sister Tamar. Didn't say to the king, and by the way, it was my idea. So now his son is dead. He was given this false report that all of his sons were dead. He gets comforted and gets over it, and now he's longing over his son Absalom, who's been away, hiding for what he did for 3 years. And Joab's now going to get involved. But any thoughts or questions before we move on? So things are kind of falling apart, aren't they? But they're only going to get worse. Because this Absalom that David's longing over is going to try to steal the kingdom. But thoughts or questions before we dive into 14? Yeah, Tanya?
David had just done what he was supposed to do. He was told to put to death anyone who commits rape. If he had taken his son and done justice that he had, Absalom had not been so angry and hated his own father for it.
It's possible. Very possible. But Absalom had high ambitions, as you will see. And he was also very good looking. Remember Solomon? Or not Solomon, Saul, why he was chosen. Anybody remember the reason he was chosen? Because he was what? Tall and good looking. He was the tallest man in the kingdom. He was good looking. And he was chosen for that reason. Well, you guys giving Cash a hard time again. They are bullies. Remember we looked at the height difference. We put Cash and Isaiah up here. Anyway, Absalom, very, as you're going to see, very good looking. Probably more good looking than Saul. And now he is going to try to steal the kingdom. But not before Joab, remember, it's the faithful general, does his best to restore Absalom to his father. I don't think Joab realized Absalom's ambitions. I think Joab was just trying to restore the family because they were separated. Don't know for sure, but it's Joab who gets involved in trying to restore. So if you want to do 1 to 3, Kian, I'll be easy on you.
Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was towards Absalom. And Joab sent it to Kilah, and fetched thence a wise woman, and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now a mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that hath a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king,
and then Brandon gets a little bit bigger passage. Four, wow, just 4 to 20.
And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and my husband is dead. And my handmaid had two sons, and they two strove together in the field. And there was none to part them, but the one smote the other and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him. The life of his brother whom he slew. We will destroy the air also. And so they shall quench my coal with which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor reminder upon the earth. And the king said unto the woman, Go to thine house, and I will give charge concerning thee. And the woman of Tekoa said unto the king, My lord, O king, the iniquity be on me, and on my father's house. And the king said, and the king and his throne be guiltless. And the king said, Whosoever saith aught unto thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. And then said she, I pray thee, let the king remember the Lord thy God, that thou wouldst not suffer the avengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. He said, As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of thy son fall to the earth. And the woman said, Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak one word unto my king, my lord the king. And he said, Say on. And the woman said, Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king doth speak this thing as one which faulty, in that the king doth not fetch home again is banished. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from it. Now therefore that I may come to speak this thing unto my lord the king. It is because the people have made me afraid, and thy handmaids here, I will now speak unto the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid. The king will hear to deliver his handmaid out of the hand of the man that would destroy me and my son together out of the inheritance of God. Then thine handmaid said, the word of the Lord of the king shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my lord the king, to discern good and bad. Wherefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Then the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, is not the hand of Job with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, the Lord the king, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand nor to the left from aught of the Lord that my lord the king has spoken. For thy servant Job, he bade me, and he put all these words in the mouth of thy handmaid. To fetch about this from form of speech, hath thy servant Job done this thing. My lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth.
Thank you, Brandon. I know that was long. So Joab took something from Nathan's playbook, didn't he? And used a parable to essentially catch David in his words. Because she talked him into giving this judgment that the other son wouldn't die. And then she said, oh, but what about your son who killed your other son? Why is he banished? Why not restore him? And Nathan did the same thing, of course, with his parable about the little lamb. And so Joab sent her to tell the parable, and now David is, I don't know, caught between a rock and a hard place because of what he just said about the woman's son, that he shouldn't have to die. And so he figured it out pretty quick, didn't he? Is Joab behind all of this? But it was too late. He'd already said it. So he will, and we'll have to wait till next week. He will allow Absalom to come home. And it's not long before Absalom then takes advantage of being home to try to steal the hearts of the people of Israel, which he accomplishes, by the way, which leads to a civil war. How terrible. Which will be the third part so far of God's promised chastisement. First, Amnon rapes his half-sister. Absalom kills Amnon. And now Absalom's going to try to steal the kingdom. Thoughts or questions before we close in prayer? All going back to David's decision to take someone else's wife and then have her husband killed. Anybody? Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect. He was a sinner like the rest of us. All right, James, close in prayer.